Conflict permeates every aspect of modern life. In our homes, on our streets, in our government, our schools, our world. Husband and wife team, Dr. Millicent Carvalho, a professional mediator and licensed social worker, and her husband, Brian Grievous, a retired police detective and former private investigator, tackle conflict of every kind in this no-holds-barred show. Join them now for Why Can't We Get Along?
Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
Governor Jan Brewer of the state of Arizona recently signed the illegal immigration bill. And looking at, well, where is the conflict with the state of Arizona implementing a new law, a state law, to address the issues that the federal law lacked?
Well, there's a lot of conflict concerning that action. And I guess there's a debate as to what is a legitimate source of the conflict, or is a conflict that's fabricated or made up, and as to what the issue is in that conflict. Yes, this issue's all over the map.
Why do you say that?
Because it's all over the map. You're talking about whether or not the mayor of Juarez needs a safe place.
Well, he comes to the United States every night to sleep, and he brings his family.
The drug dealers, and whether or not Karl Rove is for it, and he's on the right. These are all red herrings. It has nothing to do with the law.
If you're correct, why?
Everybody's throwing it up because it's an emotional issue. There are some things about the law that probably needed to be changed, and my understanding is that they did amend the law than how it was initially written. But I think that the
law allows state law enforcement to do what?
Okay, but the bigger issue is this, is that the reason why the law was instituted, in my opinion, was an issue of national sovereignty, the national sovereignty of the United States, and that every country needs the right to exercise their own national sovereignty, or the immigration law as to who comes into the country. And what Arizona state law was instituted so that it would allow Arizona law enforcement officers, or actually compel Arizona law enforcement officers to force existing federal law concerning immigration.
And that is to be able to ask people for their papers?
And which determines if people are here in the country illegally or not, and the nature of that contact that law enforcement would have with those people that are determined to be illegal is sort of prefaced by taking another law enforcement action. And I think part of the problem with the law was that it actually, and this from my own perspective, was that the initial version of the law said that the law enforcement officers must take an action. And I think that's where that's the only problem I really saw with the law. But
so the law enforcement officers... Let me just make sure I understand you, that the law enforcement officers should have some discretion as opposed to officers should.
Yeah, from my perspective as someone who's actually been in law enforcement, that you should never institute an absolute. And this law, the way it was actually implemented, was it made it absolute that law enforcement must take certain actions, and they must, once they have probable cause that the or reasonable suspicion that the person was illegal, that they had to take certain actions. And that really kind of put the law enforcement officer in a bad way. And the other caveat was that the law enforcement officer could be sued or could be fired if they did not take this action as per this law. So that was the problem that I have with the law. But in terms of the spirit of the law, it had nothing to do with race. In fact, the law actually prohibited racial profiling being the primary reason why these law enforcement officers were taking their action.
The argument that is being put forth is that this is a human rights issue, that somehow the government is becoming more like Nazi Germany, stopping people who look a certain way, who have a certain ethnicity, and asking for their papers.
That's
so
absolutely
to speak.
That's absolutely where the political spin comes into play, because the laws were specifically written saying that law enforcement officers were not to use racial profiling as a basis for enforcing the law.
And this is only if someone commits a crime.
Well,
or
they have to have some other kind of law enforcement contact that would kind of initiate contact with the person, that reasonable suspicion for their illegal status mm-hmm. actually being established.
Now, you wouldn't disagree that there could be abuses.
Well, for anything, for that matter. I mean, there could be abuses with respect to any law. So when we hire law enforcement officers and they're sworn to uphold the law, there's a certain amount of authority that we grant to those individuals that we determine to be law enforcement officers. Okay, with any law, it can be subject to abuse.
We want to welcome to the show Eileen Albiar, a social worker living in Phoenix, Arizona, Maricopa County. Social workers have a unique role in society, and Eileen is a master's level social worker, and she can tell us what it's like on the ground, what is the fallout in terms of this new law that Arizona wants to put into effect, what it's going to mean for Mexican Americans, for people of Mexican descent living in that area, what the impact will be for people who have experienced discrimination because of their ethnicity, the way they look, the language that they speak, their first language perhaps being Spanish. We've asked Eileen to share her perspective regarding this issue. Welcome to the show, Eileen.
Hi, thanks for having me. In terms of the bill 1070, it makes it a crime to be in the state of Arizona without proper documentation of your legal presence. And it requires local police to check the legal status of suspected undocumented immigrants. It was signed by the governor in late April and should go into effect, unless it's overturned or repealed, at the end of July this year. There's a lot going on in terms of the bill. It's been a very hot topic here the weeks leading up to the final signing of the bill. There was lots of demonstrations, as I'm sure you've heard.
Well, there's been a lot of coverage, and we were surprised that even some folks that we thought would be very much in favor, like Carl Rowe, for example, is really concerned. He is saying that he is concerned about Mexicans being targeted for racial discrimination. Is that your sense of what's happening there?
Well, I was surprised, too, that some folks I hadn't expected to be come out in opposition to the bill came out in opposition to the bill, which pleased me because I definitely don't support the bill myself. My personal opinion that it does open it up for basically racial profiling. I think it institutionalizes racial profiling. And the bottom line is it's the federal government's responsibility to enforce immigration. And they're making it the local law enforcement's job here. And that's not their job. Their job is to protect the community. And it's adding additional things for them to do with fewer resources.
Yeah. So, you know, Brian's a retired police detective, and one of the things that he said to me, which made me pause, and he said that being an illegal alien is a crime. But I have to tell you, my grandfather, who has long been deceased, he died when I was about 3 years old. He was from Brazil. And he was a merchant seaman, and he came to the United States, came to Norfolk, Virginia, on a ship, and basically jumped ship and didn't go back. He eventually got his citizenship. And for a long time in America, there was a sense of kind of don't ask, don't tell. You know, don't go out of your way to find people who are quote-unquote illegal aliens, but to go about our business and to incorporate them into social programs when it's possible, but not to go looking for people who are here illegally.
Yeah, but I guess the thing I would like to ask you, Eileen, have you seen an increase in crime being down there in Maricopa County since you've been down there?
I've been here for 10 years, and I can tell you that there's been no proof or no studies that I've seen that show that people who are here illegally in Arizona so far, that they're committing more crimes than anyone else. And as a matter of fact, I would think that it's more the legal residents who are committing a lot of crimes. And folks who may not have all of the required documents tend to lie pretty low and not bring themselves to the attention of local law enforcement or anyone. They're mostly here just to make a living, raise a family.
I can understand that, but one of the statistical facts they brought out was that the city of Phoenix is now the kidnap capital of the world, and that's even more kidnappings occur in Phoenix than occur in, say, Bogota, Colombia, and most of them are kind of drug-related type of, and this is kind of a statistical fact. Do you sense that the people, and because I noticed that they did a poll that the vast majority of Arizonans actually support the bill, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I thought that was interesting too. I'm a social worker, and the most of the folks in my circles, I guess, do not support the bill as well. So I was surprised to hear that, and I'm not sure. I would like to see the source of that information, but I agree. I have heard also that kidnapping is a huge problem here, and human smuggling and violent human smuggling is a huge problem here in Arizona. And I wish that our local law enforcement would be able to get the tools and the resources they need to focus on the crimes here, not illegal immigration so much. I mean, that is, again, it's a federal issue. And actually, the state of Pennsylvania comes into play because in the 1940s, some of my research, I read that there's a Pennsylvania state law that required non-citizens who are 18 or older, they had to register with the state once a year. They had to carry an alien registration card with them at all times to show, and they had to show that when asked by a police officer or state official. And aliens who refused to register could be fined and jailed. But the Supreme Court ruled it was unconstitutional because the U.S. Constitution gives the federal government, not the states, power over immigration and naturalization and deportation. And so I think the state is going to find itself in a very similar predicament, that it's unconstitutional to have this law here. The federal law is already in place, and basically the same. It is illegal to be here and not be a citizen or have a lawful presence. But again, it's the responsibility of the federal government. And I think that the federal government needs comprehensive immigration reform, but I don't think it's, with our state struggling so much economically, we're one of the states that has been hardest hit by the recession because of the housing boom. Our resources really need to be focused on that. We need to focus on reviving our economy here. And this bill has also snowballed into boycotting of the state. I'm not sure if you've heard about that.
Many groups.
Canceling left and right, and hotels and resorts are just, you know, very upset because they're losing a lot of business. Folks who work in that industry are losing work, and it's terrible for Arizona all around. So I just think that the state should be focused on that instead of this, and I just think it's just a political rally. This is something for the election year this year. It's going to be a critical election year, and I think it's being used in that respect rather than really to focus on safety. I don't think it's going to do anything to increase safety here. Yeah. I just don't.
But is there a perception that people who are perpetrators of crime in the Phoenix area are coming in from Mexico? Is that the perception? And is that the reason behind this immigration law?
I think so. I think that when we look at, you know, this has been building for a long time in the state. There's a lot of anti-immigration sentiment in the state, and it's a very conservative state.
Anti-immigration or anti-illegal immigration?
Yeah, I think that there is a perception that people who commit crimes are illegal aliens. But I just don't find that to be the case. I mean, there are plenty of people who are legal citizens who are committing lots of crimes as well.
No question about that. I think that as you go into the interior of this country, you'll find in a lot of inner cities people that commit crimes that are United States citizens that were born here. But I guess the question remains, do we need to import other people's problems also, particularly if they're not following a legal process?
To what extent does law enforcement have discretion not to ask for citizenship papers?
Well, that's interesting. The way that my interpretation of the bill, and of course I'm not an attorney, but I have actually read the bill, and it states that if there's reasonable suspicion, they have to ask. And, you know, that just opens the door for, I think, racial profiling, because what what does someone who's not here lawfully, what do they look like, what do they sound like, and what do they do? We can't answer that question. If someone is pulled over for a speeding violation or for trespassing or something, you know, what is it that's reasonably going to suggest that they're not here legally?
Well, I would just say that as someone who's a former law enforcement person, that the problem that I had with the bill, and I think that that's been amended, that a law enforcement must take specific actions, otherwise the law enforcement personnel will be sued or fired or something like that. I think that was kind of ill-advised. But in terms of reasonable suspicion, it has to be in conjunction with another lawful police contact, whether it's making an arrest or issuing a citation. So that's something that a law enforcement officer would do anyway during the course of their job. And they would be actually negligent if they're arresting somebody and never inquired as to the person's legal status during the course of either processing them or interrogating them or gathering information. I mean, that's really a required function. So the part of the bill that I thought was ill-advised was the part where it said that a law enforcement officer must do certain things. I think that any law enforcement officer must have discretion. I guess my question is, what type of conflict do you think that the new legislation causes within the community in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa County, where you live?
Okay, I want to just go back to address what the change that you mentioned you thought in the bill. There was a change to the bill in the last week or so, and I believe they did take out the must, and it's now they can. But the other thing is that what's concerning to me and my husband, too, and he works as a volunteer posseman for Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's made his own headlines for similar reasons, but he's most concerned about the part of the bill that indicates that any citizen can sue the municipality if they believe that the law enforcement is not enforcing this law in particular. So it's not the law enforcement officer that would be, I think they would be held harmless, is my understanding. But a citizen, if they, you know, saw an interaction and the law enforcement officer, they felt we did not enforce this law, they let them go, for example, that they could sue the city or town. And because we live in such a litigious society already, I just feel like that's going to be problematic.
I agree. And I think that if there's a situation, I can just tell you from my own personal experience, if someone is say, an informant of a law enforcement officer, and that person is gathering informant information for the pursuit of another crime involving another party, it would be ill-advised to hold that law enforcement officer to that standard if the informant happens to be illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are a lot of different scenarios where the must or that part of the law is not really workable in the real sense.
Well, I guess, I mean, as a law enforcement officer, you might be able to speak to this, but, you know, the law here, I really feel like it's not just that it opens the door for racial profiling, but I think it goes to some extent that it institutionalized racism. And as a law enforcement officer, you know, out in the community doing their job, they have some discretion in terms of who they, you know, I guess pull over or target based on where they are and what they're looking for. And it's just, you know, I don't know. Some people say there's not intent to do that. And I don't agree. I think the intent was specifically to target Mexican immigrants in our community, because we're not talking about crime for any, we're talking about the specific crime. So, you know, what do you think of that? I mean, in terms of targeting.
I will say this much, that it's my belief that the law specifically said that it was illegal to engage in racial profiling. And let me just say this much about racial profiling, is that racial profiling goes on every day in a legal and ethical sense, but it has to be in conjunction with other information. It cannot specifically only be attributed to someone's ethnicity. It has to be in conjunction with other crimes or other evidence that has been observed, And that, in conjunction with the racial profiling, is perfectly legitimate in terms of enforcing and investigating criminal acts.
But don't you think that's a thin line? Because this whole issue, it just seems to me that you have to, one, appreciate that there is a problem there. There's just a problem. There is a problem with immigrants coming across the border illegally. There is a problem. But it's very difficult to even address what the real problem is, because race distorts everything.
In what way? In what sense?
By what I mean is that individuals use their discretion, sometimes wisely, sometimes unwisely. And the concern is that the police will inappropriately use their discretion to target people.
Well, it has to be in conjunction with other evidence.
Yeah, but we know that there's a history of some, maybe even a few officers being inappropriate. So there is a history to this. The thing that concerns me is that could there ever be a discussion about what really needs to happen that can move beyond race? I don't mean to ignore it, because it's out there, it's on the table, it's like a big elephant, and it's always with us. And we are not, you know, a kind of post-racial society. Race still matters, and people are treated differently because of their race.
I agree.
But is there a way to have a discussion about what is the real need in Arizona, and how do you balance...
I mean, concerning the immigration issue.
Yeah, how do you balance the needs of people who are all involved in this issue, well, so that you can address a problem?
From my own perspective, I think that the part of the immigration issue is dealing around economics and crime, but there are
economics in terms of
economics in terms of the cost to the government, and people use the argument about taking jobs. I think that is kind of racially based when it talks about taking jobs, because no one else is preventing an American citizen to go pursue that same job. So that part, I do believe, might have some racial overtones to it. But in terms of the economic, the cost to the federal and the state governments, that raised an issue in addition to the crime issue.
In terms of using of social services?
So my remedy would be to look at whatever the cost is and come up with a plan so that people can, you know, can actually assimilate into...
Legally migrate?
Yes, legally migrate, pay a larger fine than the $5,000 fine that was initially proposed, and to also gradually find a pathway to citizenship and not bump the line for people who have been complying with the law.
What are your thoughts about that, Eileen?
You know, I think it would be great. I mean, I think if there was a process in place that would allow folks to legally become lawfully present somehow, I think it would eliminate a lot of the issues. And in some ways, I think the state is just trying to make that statement to the federal government that if you're not going to do anything, we are. But all this is going to do is cost us more. I think you bring up a great point there in terms of the cost. With all of the enforcement and the litigation that's going to follow, plus all of the challenges, I know the city of Tucson was planning to sue the state. There are other groups that are looking at challenging this law. It's going to come at a great cost. I think real comprehensive immigration, which, you know, people are talking about, but nothing's really happening, is the only answer.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah, and the other thing I'm concerned about is that, you know, the feeling of distrust in the community that's going to come about because of this bill, and we're already seeing it and hearing about it, you know, that folks are afraid to be out in the community. And the people who are going to be affected the most by this bill, it's not going to be people being more safe. It's not going to lead to that. You know, from a social work perspective, the children of families who are here, who were born here, we're talking about kids, you know, minors, even, you know, young adults, they're going to be the most affected. Their families are going to be torn apart. There are programs and services available for really low-income children. And if their parents are afraid to apply for services, even though they are able to because their children are eligible for services, they're not going to do it, and their children are going to go hungry. The schools and colleges here in Arizona are already concerned about enrollment being down. And I think this is just going to be really bad for our families and our community. And the people who are going to be most disaffected are the poorest children in our community.
Well, actually, you can have parents that are illegal and the children could be citizens, and those children still can get food stamps, and just the parents would not be able to apply for food stamps for themselves. And that's a national program, so.
But that was under the old. No, I don't mean that program doesn't exist, but in the old, I kind of say, don't ask, don't tell. I know that phrase goes with another issue in terms of the military. But there was a sense that people didn't really care whether or not the parents were citizens or here well, legally or not.
But now,
any kind of connection with any kind of public entity can put the parents at risk.
That's not
for
true.
Being questioned.
It's almost like HIPAA laws that if someone comes into, now I don't know how Maricopa County functions, but you know the food stamp program is a national program. If someone comes in and say, "Well, I'm illegal, but my kids are legal," they can apply for food stamps for those kids.
Yeah, but what if someone else is listening? What if somebody else is listening?
No, actually, there was another bill that was passed called House Bill 2008, and that was passed last September. And exactly what you said, Ryan, is the case, is if they come in and they say, "I'm not here legally," there is a requirement to report. The state, has to report. And so there is, you know, you're right. It's not required the parents to be legal for food stamps, but they're afraid. And they're not going to come in.
Well, now that might be unconstitutional because the food stamp is a federal program. And it goes almost back to the same issue with respect to the police acting as an agent for the feds, that they cannot give that information. They can't call ICE or anything like that because it's almost like a HIPAA law, a situation where the social worker can't give that information over to the authorities because it has nothing to do with their job.
But in Arizona now, they are reporters.
Well, I think that law may be
unconstitutional. Social workers require reporters now
for ICE?
It's not social workers. I hope I didn't misspeak, but certain service workers, state workers, municipalities, if people come in to apply for certain services, maybe not necessarily food stamps, but emergency types of assistance programs, there is a reporting requirement regardless of, you know, who they work for if they receive certain funding. And that actually in 1070, the newer bill, the one that just recently passed, there is a provision in there. And I'm not sure of the interpretation yet, but it does say that some information in terms of people applying for public benefits, that information might be able to be used somehow by law enforcement. Now, I'm not sure how that's going to be interpreted, but it certainly doesn't make me feel comfortable for the families who are going to be needing services.
Well, if those services are federally funded, they may be violating federal law by doing that. But if it's a state issue or state benefit, you know, I guess the state has the option of doing whatever they want to do. But with any federal benefit, I think they're prohibited from doing that.
This is very, very complicated. It's a very complicated issue, and I think it goes deeper than just addressing a concern that illegal immigrants from Mexico are committing crimes, and Arizona needs to protect its border, so to speak. There is kind of a backlash against people coming to the United States. I mean, and I think that it just seems it's more of an ethnic issue, and it's unfortunate that we can't have a clear discussion about it. What I found to be interesting is that it doesn't necessarily follow any party lines. I mean, people are divided. You know, Democrats and Republicans are divided. Liberal conservatives are divided on this issue.
That's true.
In a way, that's good.
I think that the Republicans that are against the bill are against alienating the Hispanic population because they want their votes. And I think that on the Democratic side, the Democrats that are for the bill is because they're concerned that foreigners are going to take their jobs. I mean, so there's different reasons. Everybody has a different dog in this fight, so to speak, and different reasons. And very few people are looking at the real core legitimate issue, and which is really that a country has a right to determine the sovereignty of who becomes a part of that country. So that, and it has to be done in a legal fashion.
Well, you're listening to Why Can't We Get Along? I'm Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
Eileen, we want to thank you very much for being a guest on our show and being a person on the ground, so to speak, and sharing with us your perspective, especially your perspective as a social worker.
It's been an honor to be here. Thank you, Dr. Carvalho and Mr. Grievous.
Well, thank you. It's very, very interesting conversation, and we really ran out of time because I'm sure we could probably go on for a couple hours on this.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was enjoyable. We really enjoyed talking to you and appreciate it. So.
And we covered a lot of good ground there, I think.
Yeah. Different perspective. So you have a good night, and take care.
Take care.
Okay, you do the same then. We'll be in touch.
Okay, right, we sure will.
Thank you both.
So, you know, this situation in Arizona, I really am torn because I really can see it from all angles. And at the same time, I don't think that this law is going to resolve the problem.
No, I think the first thing they have to do is to secure the border, see who's here, and then develop a plan, like I said, for a pathway to citizenship.
Do you think that this law is going to secure the border?
No. No, physically secure it with a fence.
Oh, with a fence, yeah.
Yes, because...
Well, not by going around and asking, can I see your papers?
No, that might be some aspect of the process, but it won't be a witch hunt type of thing. But I think that if the law is implemented and that's fair and it's accurate in terms of getting everybody accountable and basically saying to giving the people that letting them know the ones who are not cooperating that they will be deported. So I think that the first immigration bill that they tried to pass, the fine was not large enough because it costs roughly $19,000 for every person who's here illegally in terms of the cost of the government, the federal and the state government. So whatever fine that has to be attributed to this process has to at least meet that mark and then some, because getting a United States citizenship should have some value to it. And like I said, I think that the other part is that they not have the employers for these individuals have to pay so much in terms of the workers' compensation and the unemployment and all these other taxes and stuff like that, Social Security taxes. I think that they should waive some of those taxes or reduce them so that they can keep their workers. The workers can work and pay the fine, and then they can basically be part of the economy. I think that once that money starts circulating in the economy, I think that it would be a win-win for everyone.
Okay, you're listening to Why Can't We Get Along? We invite you to go to our website at www.whycan'twegetalong.com. Check it out and sign up. Become a member.
That's right. Sign up and you have access to all of our shows.
I'm Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
Take care.
Take care.
Conflict permeates every aspect of modern life, in our homes, on our streets, in our government, our schools, our world. Husband and wife team, Dr. Millicent Carvalho, a professional mediator and licensed social worker, and her husband, Brian Grievous, a retired police detective and former private investigator, tackle conflict of every kind in this no-holds-barred show. Join them now for Why Can't We Get Along?